kind of what I was trying to preach on this morning a little bit, right? That I'm free from the guilt. I'm free from the sorrow, free from all those things that come to us sometimes. And, you know, the devil will just try to tell you how sorry you are and how rotten and all that. Even after you're saved sometimes, he'll try to come in there and say, well, you're putting on a show and people's watching you, but it ain't real. Amen. But aren't you glad that, the Lord knows. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles tonight, please. Look with me in the book of the Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm number 51. Psalm number 51, just look at that for a little bit. And, the study that we've been doing on our Wednesday nights, of course, in the life of David, this kind of goes along with that, as a matter of fact. And we see that David makes his plea unto the Lord. David makes his plea unto the Lord. And that's what we're going to preach on tonight. David makes his plea unto the Lord. And I think, boy, when you see this and you read it sometimes, just when you got a chance, just, you know, sit down and read it and see what David says, I believe we can kind of all see ourselves in this. I mean, the way that we were, and I would say even sometimes the way we can get now if we're not careful, and what we need to do about it. I mean, you get down to verse number 13. Now, David has said a whole lot in those first 12 verses, but when he gets to verse 13, you see what he says? He says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. So that's where we're trying to get, right? We're trying to get ourselves to that place. So let's read, if you will, in verse number 1. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desireth truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. I pray now you just add your blessing and add your touch to it. Help us to say something tonight that would encourage the saints, that would speak to that one that needs you, that would give the encouragement and the blessing that's needed today. Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do. Again, just let us see some things in this blessed mirror and realize who we are and who you are, and we'll just give you glory and praise. And Lord, help us to see sinners and their lost condition and break our hearts and show us that they need you. We'll give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, let's look at this tonight, if you will. David makes his song, if you will, really. I mean, all of these psalms are songs, but it's a song about David and his repentance. And, you know, sometimes you hear people and I mean, everybody from time to time can get some crocodile tears going. Amen. Everybody, if they really want to, they can put on an act and a show and do it. But isn't it great when God breaks your heart? I mean, when there's a reality in that. And this is just, you know, some folks look at this and they say, oh yeah, David's all being, you know, wordy and fluffy and all these big things that he said. I believe he means every bit of it. I believe there's a depth of meaning here that says, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. When you go back and read that story, and of course this relates to that story that we read back in the book of 2 Samuel, after David has committed the sin of Bathsheba, and then Nathan the prophet comes in there, sticks his finger in his face. I mean, there wasn't any of this remorse. There wasn't any of this brokenness. There might have been something on the inside of him that says, hey, I've done this and I'm getting by with it, because that's the way that me and you do sometimes, right? We say, oh yeah, well, nobody will ever know. And if they do, I don't care. And if anybody says anything, I'll just tell them to shut up and go on their way. You know, that's the kind of thinking that we do as human beings. But buddy, when God pulls the cover back and God begins to pronounce some things toward me and you, I believe it is a different story. Amen? When you and I, that when God got us to the place where we were convicted of our sins, didn't you feel like everybody in the world knew you was dirty? Everybody in the country knew you as a sinner. They knew how rotten you were. And you felt like they knew everything about you. I did. I know I kind of felt like I'd look at people and I'd say, man, they know I'm a sinner. They know what I do. They know how I am. Hey, can I tell you? Boy, when that kind of curtain is pulled back and you think everybody sees it, it may not be so, but you feel like that's the condemnation of your sin. And David is standing there before the prophet, and Nathan tells him the story about the fellow, you know, that had the one sheep, the other had all those, and he took the one from the guy that had the one. And when he gets through, Nathan points his finger at him and says, thou art the man. Woo! I'm telling you, it slapped David in the face because his sin had gotten discovered. It was brought to light. And I'm telling you, our sin is discovered. And even if you think nobody's ever known about it here, I'm telling you, one day in heaven, it will be discovered and uncovered. God's going to make a display of it. But I'm thankful that we've got this song, if you will, David's song of his repentance. He's repenting in this story. He's already done it. But he writes it down in a form for me and you to see. So let's kind of go through this just a little bit, if you will, tonight. And notice a few things that David says in this little psalm. Well, not so little, I guess, is it? It's 19 verses that he writes to us. And we got down just through verse 13, but that's enough for us to see the story. First of all, I want you to see that David talks about the need for a thorough cleansing. David said, I need to be clean from my sin. You know what? I believe there's a lot of folks say, well, God, if you just kind of rub this little spot right here out, I'll deal with the rest of it. You know, I just leave the rest of it. But if you just get this little thing right here, because somebody's seen me, somebody said something, or somebody's discovered something, just get that little bit, rub that. David, listen to what he says. Listen to how he says it. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. I mean, he's looking for a thorough cleansing. And I don't tell you, in this, when you look at this, I want you to see and notice that, first of all, when David's talking about this, he said, God, I want you to show me that this sin is mine. You know how we tend to do sometimes? Well, they talked me into it, or they got me into it, or I was just along for the ride, or you know, you'll see people. Don't, y'all, if you get a chance now, and some of you probably have, just watch cops on TV sometimes. I mean, just sit down and watch the show Cops, and some of you probably say, it's hilarious. I mean, there's people on there, and the cops will pull them over, and, you know, they'll get out, and they're looking around, and the policeman will say, well, now, this car is, whose car is this? Well, a friend let me borrow it. Well, you know what? The policeman said, somebody's reported it stolen. Stolen? Why? Nope. How is that? Well, they just let me borrow it. I don't know about that. They might have stole it, but they just said, you can drive it. So I'm just driving it. I don't know. Well, you know, there's a ton of drugs in the back seat. Where'd that car? I don't know. They must have been in here when I got in the car and I didn't know it. My friend must have put a, can you believe? There's people that are that ignorant. Amen. And I'll go, they're that stupid, as a matter of fact. And they think that the rest of us are that stupid. But can I tell you, hey, the law enforcement folks have seen it all, and they ain't that dumb. You know, they arrest them and take them to jail, right? I mean, here they are acting all like, I don't know what happened. And then sometimes you'll see them start crying. Oh, don't take me to jail. Oh, I can't go to jail. You know, they start all that silly stuff. And it's just hilarious to watch people. Listen, they got caught, and now they're going to put on a big scene because they got caught. I'm telling you, hey, sometimes you just got to fess up and say, I done it. Amen? It's me. That's what David said, God, show me and let me know this is my sin that we're dealing with. I'm not blaming it on my brother, my sister, my mama, my daddy, or, you know, anybody else or my friends. This is me, and I got me into this sin. You see what David says there? So emphatically, he says, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. Listen to what he said in verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. It's mine. I did it. Amen. You might as well give up and give in and confess. You'll never convince God that somebody else is involved in your sin. I mean, they might be there with you and they might be doing the same thing and they might have, you know, brought you along in their group, but you're the one that made the choice to sin. Amen? It's your sin. So David says, show me that it's my sin. But he said, not only that, God. He said, show me that the sin is mine, but show me about your tender mercies. Show me your mercy. You see how he starts out? Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Look what he says. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Can I tell you, it's by the mercies of God that you and I get our sin dealt with. If it's going to get cleaned up, it's by the mercies of God. You know why? Because you don't deserve to have anything forgiven you. You hadn't done anything good. You are not any good. You are rotten, stinking, filthy flesh just like me. Amen. We're all in the same boat. We're all in the same place. And we need the mercy of God. Amen. You realize again, just kind of going over it, we've all heard this. We all ought to know it. But there's three things that God can do and does do in our lives according to sin. First of all, hey, you better not ever ask for justice. You know, there's some people say, well, I just want justice to be served. Well, I can tell you, I don't want God to do justly with me according to my sin. Because if he does, I'll spend eternity in hell. That's what I deserve. That's what's just. And that's what's right. Amen. But aren't you glad that the Bible says he has mercy. Amen. He has mercy. Mercy, justice is what we deserve. But mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Amen. Mercy is when that judge says, well, I'm going to let you go this time. I'm going to forgive this speeding ticket. I'm going to forgive your stopping or not stopping at a stop street or, you know, whatever it is. I'm going to have some mercy. And boy, you're thankful and you're grateful and you say, thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate your mercy on me and not charging me a lot of money and costing me something on my insurance. You know, all that stuff that we do. That's mercy. Boy, this mercy is a whole lot more than that. I mean, God says, I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to send you to hell. I'm going to forgive your sins. Amen? And you see that David here is asking for the mercy of God. But aren't you glad there's that third thing, which is grace? That's grace is when God gives you something you never thought you'd ever deserve. Praise God. He gives you more than just that mercy. He gives you his grace. He goes above and beyond. And he blesses your life in so many ways, in so many things. And it's just simply by the grace of God. Amen. Thank God for that. But David says here, man, show me your mercies. I mean, show me. He says, show me the multitude of your mercies. You see that? He said, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Boy, aren't you glad God's got a bunch of mercy? I mean, hey, over in the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah says that it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not concerned. He said, great is thy faithfulness. He said, your mercies are fresh and new every morning. Amen. Boy, when you get up tomorrow morning, God will have some new mercy for you tomorrow. You didn't need it today, but you'll need it tomorrow. And you're going to get it from him. And praise God for that. Amen. I mean, just think about that. He says, look. There's a multitude of God's mercy. But not only that, hey, you think about the magnificence of God's mercies. God's mercy is forgiving you of your sins. God's mercy is forgiving you. And listen, the mercy that God sends, it mends your heart and changes your life. You ought to be praising God for his great mercies. For his great mercies. And not only that, David says, look, show me that sin's mine, but show me your mercies. And then he said, show me that my sins have been moved away. Amen. I mean, look down in verse 7. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide not thy face from my sin, and blot out all mine iniquities. He said, God, will you just move this sin out of my life? And God's able to do that. God is able, God is willing, and God performs those things that he says that he will do. Amen? Aren't you glad of that? So David said, look, first of all, God, can I thank you and talk to you about getting a thorough cleansing? But second of all, he says, God, I want to talk to you about a thankworthy creation. Look down in verse number 10 and notice what he says. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Amen. Listen, can I tell you who David is thankful for? First of all, David is thankful for his Creator. Amen. You see what he says? He didn't say, well, let them down to church, write my name, and change all that bad stuff on the books. No, that ain't what he said. He said, create in me a clean heart. What did he say? Oh, God. He said, I want to acknowledge the Creator of all of this change in my life. There is somebody that's changed me. Can I tell you, Paul wrote for us in the New Testament, in the book of 1 Corinthians. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Amen? What do you say? I'm saying praise God for the Creator. I mean, that's because you're in Christ Jesus. He's made you different. The Creator of this, he said, create in me a clean heart. Aren't you glad God can do that? When you got old dirty, nasty, filthy, rotten, stinking heart on the inside, God can change it. He can get it, and he can create a brand new one. Amen. He can make a brand new heart in the most evil, wicked, and vile person that there is in this whole world. Amen. God's able to do that. I mean, he said, let me be thankful to the Creator, the one that created me a new heart, and that I'm asking to create within me a new heart. Isn't it amazing that David doesn't say, restore the old heart? But no. He said, create in me a new heart. You know why? Because that other one got ruined. Ruined by sin, ruined by the actions, ruined by the affair, ruined by all the mess that came. His heart was ruined. He said, create in me a new heart. Create in me a new heart. Oh, God. God, I need for you to create something new. And God said, I can do it. You know why? You know why? You know why you can come and ask God to create something, create your life in a different way, create some things in that? Because, listen, he's the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. Oh, he's the one that called the firmament to the surface of this old world when it sat in darkness and was void and empty. There wasn't anything. And all God had to do is just say the word. And he made a place that's called earth. Amen. He made the heavens. He made the animals. He made the birds. He made the fish. He made it all. How did he do it? He's the creator. Amen. He created it. Well, preacher, it just kind of boom. It was there. Yeah, you can believe that if you want to. I don't. Amen. I believe God is the creator. I'm so thankful that I know the creator. And I'm so glad the creator has made a new creature out of me, because I'm his creation now in Christ Jesus. Amen. So David, first of all, is talking about and thankful for the creator. But second of all, he's thankful for the changes that have happened in his life. He said, give me a clean heart and a right spirit. Amen? He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, God was going to have to, as I say, change that heart and give him a right spirit. You know why? Because it had a wrong spirit. You know what that wrong spirit, it wants to sin. It wants to lie. It wants to cheat. It wants to deceive. And you know, we talk about David, and what have we said about him? We know David is a man after God's own heart. But can I tell you, even people that have done some great and godly and right things, hey, they can get in that wrong place too. And David was there. He said, renew a right spirit within me. Create a new heart in me and give me a right spirit. Now, sometimes we run into people down here and they may be saved, but you ever seen anybody just didn't have right spirit? Amen? I mean, they just didn't have right spirit. I mean, they was, they wanted to be critical and negative and all that kind of stuff. Hey, ask God to give you a right spirit. And I believe a right spirit will do a whole lots of stuff for you that nothing else can. Amen. It'll make you want to sing, and it'll make you want to shout. It'll make you want to go to church. It'll make you love folks. It'll do all kinds of things when God gives us the right spirit on the inside. And that's what David said. David said, when David asked for this, you got to realize he knew what he used to be and how he used to be. And then he got into the place of that sin with Bathsheba, and it changed a lot of stuff on the inside of him. Can I tell you, sin will do that to us. It will change a lot of the stuff on the inside of us, and it'll mess up. Amen. You know, you hear them talk about the old-fashioned lamps and lanterns that people used to have. And I don't know, some of y'all may remember your parents or grandparents, whatever, had some of those old kerosene type lamps and that. And I can remember my grandma had some, and you'd look at them and every once in a while you'd notice that it's black and dirty on the inside. And you'd ask them, well, you know, what did that? Well, the wick might need trimming, or we just let it burn too long, or something didn't burn right, and it just got smoky and got smutty. Well, what are we going to do about it? It needs to be cleaned. It needs some cleansing. Can I tell you, this is where David says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit on the inside. Because what we had, you know what? Go down to store and buy one. You know what they are when you get down there? Buddy, they're crystal clear then. You get a brand new, I mean, it's perfect. It looks great. That glass is clear. You can look through it, and then, oh, wow, that's great. Take it home and use it a while, and it gets all smutty and dirty. Amen? You know what it's time for? Cleaning. You know what it's time for a lot of folks that said they're God's people, but they ain't got a right spirit, ain't got a clean heart. They need a clean up, amen. Clean up on our church, amen. Come on in here, and let's clean it up, thank God. Amen? Hey, who does that? I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost can do it for you. I mean, here David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So he's thankful for those changes. And then he's thankful for not being a castaway. You see that in verse number 11. He said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, God, let me tell you, I'm thankful that you hadn't done. Because you know what? God could do away with you. I mean, anybody in this room, when God says that's enough, he can cut you off. He can get rid of you. He can take you out from it. God can do that. Amen. And David said, I don't want to be a castaway. You remember what Paul talked about in his writing? He talked about wanting to fight in the fight for the Lord and do it right and not be he said himself, lest I be a castaway. He didn't want to be a castaway either. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be a problem for God. I don't want to be an offense to the cross. I don't want to be a issue for lost folks getting saved, not getting saved. I want to be what I need to be. And God said, hey, you need to clean it up or I can take you out. You remember what God told Nathan? He said, you tell David that I'm not going to take his life, but that little baby that Bathsheba's carrying, I'm going to take his life. And then he said, there's going to be some bad stuff happen beyond that. And we've been reading and studying that, hadn't we? And we see where he lost another son, lost two other sons, and then his daughter Tamar, how she was brutalized by one of those boys. I mean, I'm telling you, hey, a lot of bad stuff can happen in your life. And I want to tell you, you better get on your face and call out and cry out to God and say, God, don't make me a castaway. Don't make me a castaway. And then you see all of the other problems that came in David's life. Buddy, it's tough sometimes. Let me just tell you again. You can do what you want to. You can choose what you want to choose, but you can't choose the consequences of it. Amen? Those roosters will come home. Those chickens will come home to roost. I'm telling you, friend, sometimes that sin's going to come right back up there, and it'll be there. Amen? It'll be there. Now, listen, there's a lot of folks that's having to eat a lot of stuff because of that nowadays. But I'm telling you, you just have to realize, hey, God, just put me where I need to be with you and create a right spirit or create a clean heart, renew a right spirit, and don't, please don't cast me away from you and make me unusable something that brings shame and reproach unto you. He says, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, my. How terrible would that be? In the Old Testament, they're not like we are in the New Testament where we have the Holy Spirit when we get saved. But David said, I know that Spirit. That Spirit's been on me, and I sure don't want that to be gone. Amen? And I'm telling you, me and you want to be used of God and let that Holy Spirit rule and reign in our lives. So David says, look, I want to talk to you about a thorough cleansing. I want to talk to you about a thankful creation or a thankworthy creation. And then last of all, he said, let me talk about a thrilling commencement that is going to take place. He said, there's a reconnection that I'm wanting to get into. Listen to what he says there in verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressor thy ways and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Do you see that? David says, let's talk about something that thrills my heart. And it ought to thrill me and you as the people of God. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I want you to notice, first of all, that he talks about the fact that it's not, you know, people say, well, let me tell you about my salvation. It ain't your salvation, it's his. He says, thy salvation. It's God. God does the saving, and God is the creator of salvation. God is the author. God is the maker of our salvation. Thank God. You and I ought to say, God, it's your salvation, but I sure am enjoying it in my life. Amen. But listen to what he talks about here, about this commencing of this thing. He said, I want to get back into this, and I want this to really work and do in my life. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. First of all, he says, I want you to know, God, I miss the rejoicing that I once had in you. Can I tell you, when sin gets in your life, there ain't much joy. I mean, it's a person that has gotten away from God, but yet they're saved. They are the most miserable person in this world. There's no joy in anything they're doing. They can't enjoy the sin because they know it's wrong, and they can't enjoy God because they're cut off from fellowship, and they just sit there in their misery. You know what David said? I miss the joy that I had with you, God. I miss those times of rejoicing. But aren't you glad you can be a child of God and you can rejoice? You say, I'm in hard times, but I rejoice in the Lord. I'm going down to church and they're singing and shouting, and I rejoice in the Lord. And I rejoice because my name's in heaven. I rejoice because God's good to me. Amen. And David said, I'm in a place, or I have been in a place, where there's no joy in anything that I'm doing. And that's a miserable spot to be in. I miss the rejoicing in my salvation, in your salvation, God. I miss that rejoicing. Oh, I want to rejoice, but I can't. Why? Well, I'm a child of God, but I sure am a sorry example of that sometimes. Amen? That's what he's saying. Hey, you know that little boy that left home over there in the book of Luke, and he was what we call the prodigal son in chapter number 15? He left home, and he got down in the hog pen, and guess what? The joy was gone. Well, he spent that money. He had a big time. He acted a fool and had parties and had friends and had all that he thought he wanted. And that run out, and buddy, he got flat down where there was nothing, and the joy was gone. Down in the hog pen feeding the hogs. Down in the mud, the muck, and the mire. And didn't know what he was going to do. Amen? Well, back there at Daddy's house, you begin to think. Back there at Daddy's house, they're shouting. Amen? I mean, they're having a big time. His servants have got plenty to eat, and here I sit in a mud hole. Amen? Hey, there ain't no joy. I want to tell you what I did, and I have no idea why I did this. I was just looking on something the other day, honey, and I looked up. Does anybody remember the old poem, The Mighty Casey at the Bat? Y'all remember that when you was a kid? You used to have to read that, The Mighty Casey at the Bat. And I don't know, I just got to reading about it, and it's funny. I mean, the poem is kind of funny, the way they describe it. I guess I had baseball on the brain or something, but anyway, I got to reading that. And at the, you know, through the whole little part of the poem, it talks about, you know, the Mudville. That's the name of the team. The Mudville Nine wasn't having a real good day. And it talks about how that somehow, unbelievably, they got runners on first and second. And their best batter was coming up to the plate, the mighty Casey. I mean, Casey could hit the home run. Casey was the man. And the mighty Casey came to the bat, and as he's there, the pitcher throws, and he just stands there, and the ball goes by, and he just lets it go. And the umpire says, strike one. And so he doesn't swing. The crowd's getting all tore up, you know, and they're, oh, come on, come on. And the pitcher winds up, throws again. It's more poetic than what I'm saying, but it comes in, and he stands there and looks at it, and strike two, the umpire said. So he's got one strike left. And then it goes into this little somewhere children laugh and somewhere, you know, people sing and all this kind of stuff. What is all that? And it says, but there's no joy in Mudville, for the mighty Casey has struck out. Amen. There wasn't no joy left in Mudville because their main man had let them down. Say amen right there. Can I tell you, you'll let everybody and everything in your life down by you trying to handle it yourself. You're not able. And your joy can be gone just like that. But David says, restore unto me the joy of thy soul. I miss the rejoicing in you. You ever get there? You know, sometimes we get like that. I mean, we can be saved and come to church, and we get like that. We call it kind of a dry season. You ever been in one of them? Woo, I've been there. Hey, I watched some of them guys again on baseball, and they get into a hitting slump. And you can see them. They get so mad at themselves. They could, you know, they go in there and slam their bat, and they throw their helmet, and they do. Ain't none of that stuff done it to them. It's them, right? But can I tell you, when it gets like that, look at you. Look at yourself and say, because I'm telling you, hey, if God had never and does never do anything else for us again, we ought to rejoice and shout and praise Him because how good He has been to us. Because He saved us and wrote our name in heaven. Y'all just run around, woo, and shout to God anyway. Amen? Hey, and old David said, I miss the rejoicing in you, oh God. I miss that chance and that opportunity to rejoice. Second of all, I want to tell you what else he says. He says, I miss my relationship with you. Amen? He says, restoring to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. I mean, oh God, I need you. I got to have a relationship with you. Amen? I mean, do you ever miss the relationship that you have with the Lord? I mean, sometimes we get so busy in life, we get so carried away by other things, or we think they've got to be done, all this, and we leave the Lord on the outside. Do you realize that's what has happened over in the book of Revelation in chapter number 3? The church at Laodicea, you remember what happens there? The church of Laodicea, Jesus talks to them, and he's writing, you know, to the seven churches. Get down to that church at Laodicea, what does it say at the end of it? It says this, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Does that make sense? Well, if you'll go back and look in the very first one, he talks about how that he's in the midst of the seven candlesticks. And the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. He's right in the middle of them right there. But by the time you get down to that Laodicean church, he's on the outside wanting in. He said, behold, I stand at the door. What does that mean? It means he's outside. If I come to your house and I knock on the door, it means I'm outside. Amen? I know you're watching me on the Ring camera, but let me in anyway. Amen? Listen, hey, he's on the outside, and he's wanting to be let in. Oh, can I tell you? Man, there's a relationship that has been dissolved. There's a relationship that has something's happened. Something's gone wrong, and something's messed up. Oh, don't you love to hear it? I hear those folks sometimes. They'll say, well, preacher, let me tell you about me and my wife. I've just fallen out of love with her. Well, you're crazy. Amen? I mean, really? Oh, we used to blah, 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 you know, slobbered all over the place and chased each other and done all this, and now we've just fell out of love. Your love is a commitment. When it's a decision that you make. And it's the same thing in your relationship with the Lord. You decide on that you're going to put some time, some effort, and some work into that relationship. And don't be so far from it. He says, look, restoring to me the joy of thy soul. You remember them days when you sat with Jesus and he just looked at you and you looked at him and y'all just smiled and hallelujah and everything was great? That's the kind of day David's looking for. I mean, listen, this is the same David that wrote Psalm 23 that said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. You read that and it's like they're so close that you can't believe. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. You're right here with me, Lord. But now, something's happened. Something's broken that relationship. And David said, I miss that relationship. Amen? He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And he said, and uphold me with thy free spirit. There's some things here that David is missing because it's not present in his life at this time. He is asking God to restore these things to him. And then last of all, let's say this. I miss the revival that can only come from you. Amen? Wilt thou not revive us again? Thank God, aren't you glad God can bring revival? You know, people will say, well, preacher, the days of revival are over. I believe probably that the days of worldwide revival are over. I don't know that for absolute certain. It just looks like it. But can I tell you, God can come down and visit Old Bethel Baptist Church. He can come down and visit at your house, and you can have a revival, just you and him. David said, boy, if you'll just restore this, I'll get back my shouting shoes. I'll get back to where I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Amen. Woo! I want to get back there. Give me a revival, Lord. Just revive my heart. Revive my life. And that's what all of us should be looking for, longing for, asking for, is, Lord, will you just bring a revival my way? Will you just bring a revival my way? Oh, aren't you glad when he does that? Revive us again. You sing that old song sometimes we sing. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Amen. That's revival. I mean, that's revival. You know, sometimes we think about revival. Well, we have revival. Maybe people be saved. Revival meetings not to get people saved. It's to get church people stirred up and fired up. Amen. And David said, I miss those days of reviving that can only come from you. Oh, he says, restore something in my life. Bring it back and revive me again. Oh, Lord, I need that. Uphold me with thy free spirit. If you'll do that, we'll have revival. Amen? We'll have revival. I'm so glad that God can bring, does bring, and will bring a revival when I'll just come and simply present ourselves to him. Amen? Boy, David is looking for the way back from this whole situation. I mean, he says, God, I'm sorry. And I'm really sorry. I'm truly heartbroken and sorry over the sin that's in my life. And I want you to create a clean heart. I want you to restore the joy. I want you to uphold me with that spirit, that wonderful spirit that I enjoy. Oh, I need every bit of that. And then he said, if you'll do that, will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted. David said, I'll go tell somebody about you. Tell them what you've done for me and what he can do for them. Amen? Aren't you glad of that? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a song tonight, if you will.